You're listening to Amud with Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. We're going to start from Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the bottom by the two dots, five lines from the bottom. Again, we are analyzing part of the Brisa that we just the Gemara just quoted, right? Talking about what an Evid can go out with, or what a woman can go out with, and then. And the discussion about a chosam, some sort of a seal. And then we got into discussion then back into animals, what they may go out with and their status regarding their status as kalim and being a kabel tuma. So Amar Mar, the master, has just said that lo seitzei behema, lo b'chosam sheba savara, v'lo b'chosam sheba ksusa, that an animal can't go, v'lo b'zug sheba savara, v'lo b'zug sheba ksusa, that an animal cannot go out on Shabbos with a seal or a bell put into their clothing or hanging around their neck. None of that is acceptable for an animal to go out with that, those things. And then the Brisa says, "Zev zeh ain makabel tuma," and none of them are makabel tuma. So that means that it sounds like none of them have the status of kalim. That's what the Brisa says. So the Gemara responds to this Brisa. So hold on, zug de behema ain makabel tuma. Is that true? That the bell of an animal, a cowbell, is not makabel tuma? We have a contradiction from a different brisa, which says the following: zug shel behema tameya, the bell of a non kosher animal. Zug shel behema tameya, right? The bell of a non kosher animal is tame. Vishel deles tahora. And of a door is tahora, meaning you have a doorbell, not like our modern doorbells, but you can imagine one hanging, you know, on the door. I guess imagine when you walk into a shop, that kind of doorbell, and you have one on the animal. So the one of an animal of a door does not become it's tahora. It is not susceptible to tumah. Why not? So you might have guessed, but take a look at Rashi. Dallas mechuber labayas who shehu chuber lakarka. Veino kli lakabel tuma, because the bell is attached to the door, and the door is attached to the house, and the house is attached to the ground, and the house is connected to the hip bone. But ultimately, it's mechuber lakarka, and it can't be makabel tuma. Therefore, the bell would be excluded from that possibility. So what did we just? And then we'll continue the Brisa a little bit. If it was shel deles vaso lebehema, so let's say it was a doorbell, and he says, you know what, I don't think I need this anymore. Rather, let's use it for the behema. Vaso lebehema, he made it to the behema. Tameya, it retains its, it now becomes tame, right? So you took the bell that originally was not susceptible to tuma, you used it, as now you're using it now as an animal, as a cowbell, so that would be all of a sudden becomes susceptible to tuma. Shel behema vasol adelis. Let's say it was a cowbell which was susceptible to tuma, and now you say, you know what? Unfortunately, Bessie is no longer around, but we do want a bell for the shop, so you put it out by the door. Afal pi shechibro adelis avikava b'masmarim tamei. Even though you attach it to the door and you even like set it in there with masmarim, with nails, it still becomes tame. Shakola kalim yordin and so now just to explain this discrepancy before we get to the challenge of that were originally asking, let's just clarify this point. What's with this discrepancy? Why is it that if you take a cowbell, make it into a doorbell, then it will it remains tame, it as if it's still a cowbell. However, if you take a doorbell and you turn that into a cowbell, it is now susceptible to tuma, doesn't retain its old status as a doorbell. Right? So why is that different? And it's a principle that we actually discussed already. It was a Mishnah and Kalim we discussed on Nun Beis, where which says as follows: Shekola kelim yordin lidei tumasan b'machshava, that all kelim can go down into a status of susceptibility to tuma through machshava. Ve'ein olin midei tumasan ela b'shinoi maisa, but if they are currently susceptible to tuma, they don't lose that status until there is an action done to change it. Right, meaning that if I have a new function, a new use for an item that is not susceptible to tuma, but now I want to use it as something that is susceptible to tuma, just that machshava, or perhaps at least that indication of the machshava, the fact that I put it in a new place, is enough to change the status and make it susceptible to tuma. In order to take away susceptibility to tuma and make something in a case where it is not susceptible to tuma, that you need an actual physical change to be done. So when it comes to the cowbell, so if you have a cowbell which is susceptible to tuma, and you, or so let's do the other way around. Let's say you have a doorbell which is not susceptible to tuma, because it's attached to the door, it's attached to the house, it's attached to the ground. But you take the doorbell and put it on an animal, so that is a machshava, right? It's an indication of a machshava that will change its status. So now it's as if it's a cowbell, and therefore it is susceptible to tuma. However, the other way around, if I take a cowbell, which is susceptible to tuma, in order to take that out of its susceptibility of becoming tame and turn it into a full-fledged doorbell that is not susceptible to tuma, I would need to do a shinoi maisa, a big physical action, which seems to be just putting it on the doorbell, even with nails, is not enough. Right, does Rashi clarify that for us over here, that it's not enough? So he says, v'talaya lav maisahi, right, in the second Rashi, Sheldelis. So he says, so over here, right, v'talaya lav maisahi, shakol kelim yordin lidei toras tum of machshava shalo. So this would not be considered enough. You need a full shinoi maisa. Okay. At the end of the day, what we get from this brisa is that a cowbell can become, a cowbell is susceptible to tuma. Right? We said, zug, right at the bottom of the amud, zug shel behema tameya. A zug of a bell of an animal is tameya. So, how can we have said in the brisa just before that, right, remember the zug and the chosam, whether it's the neck or of the clothing, they are not susceptible to tuma. This brisa over here says that it does become tame. So that is the contradiction that we bring. So anyway, at the end of the day, lo kasha. It's not a question. Ha de isle inval, ha de isle inval. This one is where there is an inval, the metal thing inside the bell, the clapper I don't know the proper word for maybe clapper is that, but this is where the bell has that little thing inside that makes a noise, and this is where it does not. Okay, so what's the difference? So if there is an inval, if we have that there, then the first brisa is where there is no inval, where we said that it does not bekabel tuma, it's not bekabel tuma because it doesn't have this inval, so seemingly it's not a full kli. However, if it has the inval, as in the second brisa, that's where it becomes tamea. So the Gemara is not so thrilled with this. It says manafshach. Well, either way, it doesn't quite make sense. There's something missing. Imanahu, if it's considered a mana, which is like a kli, afal pi delisle inval, then even if it doesn't have the right, if the bell, remember, we're assuming the bell is a kli tachshit. It's like a decorative ornamental vessel, right? So if it does ilav mana, so if it's not considered a kli, then then it doesn't it shouldn't matter if there's an inval or not, right? Imanu hu afbi delisle inval, it should be considered a kli because the bell part should be irrelevant. Ilav mana hu inval, and if it's not, let's say it's not a kli, this is not considered a proper ornamental object, then inval amashvele mana. Is it possible that all of a sudden you put a clapper in and that turns it into a cleat? I mean, it sounds like we're talking in terms of decorative kalim, and therefore it really shouldn't make a difference whether there's a bell or not. If the bell is considered a proper cleat that someone wears, so then that should be regardless or whether or not there is a clapper, their inval. And if it's not, then like this is the same thing. So there's something missing here. So the Gemara asked it seemingly rhetorically, right? Ilav manahu, and if it's not considered a kli, inval mashvile manash, will the inval make it into a kli? So the Gemara says, yeah, actually it will. Can Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar Rabbi Yonasan? It's like the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani Rabbi Yonasan. Minayin lemashmiya kol bikli matachos shehutame. How do I know it means that a kli matachos, a metal kli that has a kol, like meaning like a bell, that it becomes tame. Meaning what it's arguing is that, yeah, so there are some type of kalim that are like ornamental kalim, that it's like a, you know, so it's like a something that you wear as tachshit, as jewelry, something like that. And then there are some kalim that can be considered kalim and have a functional purpose if they are proper noisemakers and that they're makabel tumah if it's a bell. So what's the source that lemashmia kol bikli matacho shu tame, that a metal noisemaking kli can become tame? Shneamar, as the pasuk says, the war in Midyan, in Parshas Pinchas, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh taviru ba'esh. Anything that can go in fire shall be passed through fire. Now this is talking. This is talking about hachsharas kelim, not tuma. I'm not sure how exactly we get there. It could be that in general we draw some comparisons. I don't see anybody on the Amma talking about it, but let's take for granted right now that there are some comparisons that we would draw. I guess because we're talking about the status of it as a kli, right? So it might not really matter what exactly we're doing. We're talking about it being called a kli. So we're going to darshan kol davar afilu dibor yavo ba'esh, even if it's something that speaks, a talking kli, which would be like a bell, which makes noise. So even that would be included in this, in giving it a kli status, and therefore the kli with the inval that would make it. Enough of a kli that would be mekabel tuma, and so therefore we can interpret the brisa at the top of the amud. This brisa that it's talking about where there's a bell and that's where the bell has a clapper, and that's why it is mekabel tuma. While the bell in the previous the brisa in the previous amud did not have a clapper, and that's why it is not mekabel tuma. But now the Gemara is still not thrilled. But b'mayu kimta, but how did you establish this case? But b'delisle inval, you're telling me that the brisa on the previous amud is talking about where there is no inval, right? Ema mitziyasa, but we should quote the middle part of the brisa, which is as follows: v'lo bizug shabbat savaro, right? It says that the animal can't go out with a bell that's around his neck. Alvayotzehu bezug shebeksuso, but it can go out with a zug on its ksus, and v'zev v'zev mekabel and tuma, and both of them are mekabel tuma. So idelisle inbal. So let's assume right now that there is no inbal. So mi mekabel tuma. Is it possible that that it would be makabel tuma, because over here we're machalik, right? That we're machalik between the bell on the ksus and a bell on the neck. And we say, so if you're telling me, okay, no, this Bryce is talking about where there's no inbal, so why would it be makabel tuma? And Uraminuhu, we'll see also that this Bryce over here that we're about to quote also is problematic for that. Because this is Ha'osa Zagin Limach Teshes, somebody who makes bells for, so Mach Teshes is like a mortar, for like grinding, spices and things like that. Rashi says, Shemefatimim ba Samamanin, right? That they would put in these, like I guess dissolve these, spices, Lahak Tir Lareach. Right, so the Gemara in Krisos says that sound, noise, is beneficial for the besamim. Somehow it helps the grinding spice process. I'm not personally involved in that process often, therefore I can't attest to that, but I trust the Gemara in Krisos. So I guess people would make bells with, you know, to make noise for the machteshes, when they were grinding these spices, okay. And Vila Arisa, and this is for a cradle. Rashi says, Tinok Shoche Besocha Shakorin Birtza Vatola Bozagin Alakashkesh Kadei Shesh Miha Tinok V'yashen. Right? They had rattles on cribs back then, which is very interesting. So they would make bells for one of these things. So if you have bells for the machteshes or for the arisa, for the crib, for the cradle, ulamitvachos svarim, ulamitvachos tinokos, or for the mitvachos, right, like a mipachat, so it's like a cloth covering of books or of children. So Rashi explains what these are a little bit. Kishinosin osan the base knesset shatin, that they put them in the base knesset shatinoko shall base rabban korin sham miskash kishin azaga atinoko shomen bain. Right, the teachers would be ringing bells, right, for the kids to come to class, right, school bells. So they had that. And I guess they would put these rattles on the kids' necks as well, right? Imagine it's easy to keep an eye and an ear on the kid, right? So they would put they would use the bells for these different purposes. So anyway, all these bells, what's the halacha? Yeshalhem inbal tmein einlan inbal torin. If these bells had the clapper in them, then they're considered susceptible to tuma, and if not, then not. If they didn't have the clapper, they were tahorin. Right. And nitlu in balehen. If these bells had the clappers in them, and then they were taken out, adayin tumosan alehem, they retain their tame status. Okay, so. And we'll return to that in a moment, but now over here, we have a little bit of a discrepancy of trying to understand. So the necessity of the clapper in the bell, is that what's determining the status or not, right? So because over here we say in this brisa that if there was never an inbal in the bell, so it wouldn't be makabel tuma. So how could we suggest earlier that bells without the inbal are makabel tuma? So the Gemara responds, honey mili betinok. This, Bryce, that we just said, is referring to the bells that are used for a tinok. Dilakala vidile. Because that is for the purpose, they're made for the purpose of the kol, of the voice. Therefore, they are not considered fulfilling their purpose without the inbal. Aval gadol, but the zug of a gadol, meaning that a bell that an adult would wear, tachshitule, aval gadol esle inbal. it is considered a tachshit. I just need a good word for this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. An ornament. It's something to make it look nice. Even if it doesn't have the clapper, and therefore it'd be makabel tuma even without having the clapper in it. However, for the bells for the children. So if the purpose of the bell is for the sound to be made, then without that, it'll be makabel tuma. However, if the bell is an ornament, then the bell is an ornament, then the inbal, the clapper, is not relevant to make it susceptible to tumah or not. Okay, but now we want to go back to this last piece. Right, the Gemara says after the two dots, Amar Mar Nitil in Belehen. Right, the Master said that if you take out the inbal of the bell, adayin tumasan alehen, they remain tameh. So how is that? So lemai chazu, for what do they fit? Meaning, it sounds like if you have a bell and you take out the inbal of the bell, you take out the clapper of the bell, it sounds like you rendered it non-functional. And if you render something non-functional, they should no longer be susceptible to tumah, and they should definitely lose their tamei status. So why would they retain their tamei status? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hoil shahed yot yachol lach zero. This is a big chiddush, right? I think. I mean, the Gemara is also going to think so. But so Abaye says, since a head yot is able to return it, right? And meaning, and that's the answer. Since a head yot is able to return the bell easily, you can just easily stick it back in. Therefore, you didn't render it completely non-functional because it's so easy to reattach, which that's very surprising, right? Rashi says hedyot shein sar human. You don't need a professional for this. It's right. Not the most handy person in the world is required to reattach these. It's still very interesting because lamaisa, when you look at the object in front of you, you see a non-functional object that could be fixed, but that's what Abaye asserts. Mesiv Rava, but Rava challenges that. He says that's not so simple. Hazugva in Valchibor, right? He says that we have a brisa that says a zug and an inbal are chibor. They are connected, right? So that right, and if they have this chibor, that it must indicate that the Bresa must be telling us that the inbal is a necessary part to the functionality of the zug, meaning the clapper is a critical piece of the bell, the fact that we're calling it chibur, and therefore, if you take that out, you've indeed rendered this object non-functional, and therefore it should no longer be susceptible to tumah. It should lose its tumah status of its tumah. And then Rava says, "V'chitayim." If you want to tell me, if you're going to try to say "Hachi ka'amar," what's this brisa saying? It's saying the following: "Af al gav d'lo mechaber, mechaber." What?
Nothing. Sorry.
Yeah. Af al gav d'lo mechaber keman de mechaber dame. That maybe this brisa is actually trying to teach me the chiddush of Abaye. That. Even it, what's this price saying? The zug and the imbal are chibur. What does it mean? Maybe it's teaching me that afagav de lo mechaber keman de mechaber dami. That even if they're not connected, they're still connected in spirit, right? They're still attached in a way that the tuma remains on it because it's such an easy fix. Maybe that's exactly what this Brisa is saying, right? Rava tried to refute Abaye with the Brisa, and then he said, I know what you're going to try to do. You're going to try to turn this around on me, aren't you? Right? And say that this Brisa is actually teaching your Chiddush. He says, not so fast. V'hotanya, but we learned in the Brisa, mispores shel prakim, we did this earlier on Menuchasam Abeis. You have scissors that are in pieces, right? Two pieces, two, I guess, blades that are attached to scissors. The Ismail shel rehitni, right? And you have the plane of a carpenter, we said, right? So you have some one of these items. Chibur l'tuma ve'ein chibur l'hazza. They are considered connected for the purposes of tuma, but they are not considered connected for the purposes of hazza. Meaning, for which is the sprinkling, for purification, which means that what that if right. So there are two both of these things, the Ismael and the Mesporis. There are two pieces that are attached to each other. So if one of, if something touches one of them and is metame it, so the other one becomes tame also. They're chibur regarding tuma. However, when you sprinkle it for purification, so then you would have to sprinkle both. It's not enough to sprinkle one and say the tahara will transfer to the other one. You need to sprinkle both. So they're considered not mechubar for the purification process. Right? The amrina, and then we said over there, manafshach, either way, this is strange. I chibarhu afilu haza. Vilo chibarhu afilu l'tumma nami lo. Right? Either they're connected or they're not. It doesn't make sense to say that they're connected regarding tuma and they're not connected regarding hazah. That doesn't make sense. V'am Rabba, and Rabba said over there, Dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur bein l'tuma bein l'hazah. That he says, no, let me explain. At the time of malacha, when you're using it right now for malacha, it's considered chibur. Whether it's tame or hazah, right? Tuma and hazah doesn't really make a difference. What makes it considered chibur if it's being used right now? Shelo b'shas malacha. If you're not using it right now, ainu chibur lo tuma v'lo hazah. Okay. So how do we explain the halachas we learned? V'gazru al tuma shelo b'shas malacha mishum tuma shi b'shas malacha. And they v'al hazah, right? So and there was a gzeira made. The rabbanu goes there on tuma. For not that's not in the time of malacha because of tuma that is in the time of malacha, meaning that when it becomes tame while being used, so then both parts will become tame. We're concerned that if we say that only one piece of it will become tame, let's say it's not being used, only one piece will become tame, and like don't worry, you don't have to be matar the other one because this piece is tame, but this one's tahor. So then what's going to happen? That what the people are not going to realize that's because you weren't using the scissors right now. But if you were using the scissors, so then they might come to a situation where they're using the scissors and it actually becomes tame. So to avoid that, and a similar problem, val hazah shi b'shas malacha mishum hazah shel b'shas malacha, right? You bring the scissors in to purify them. You're sprinkling the water. You say, oh, you only have to do it on one because it's currently not b'shas malacha. So they might think that that also applies even when it is b'shas malacha. So that's what we came to say. Therefore, what did we just show through this? We just showed that if things are detached, they are not considered mechubar. There's no way, right? I mean, this we're even talking about if it's b'shas malach or not. You cannot tell me that a bell and the clapper is taken out of it, that it's possible that they're connected in spirit. There's no such thing. It must lose its tummy status. And then Ela Amarava, therefore, the Rava says, Ho v'roi la'kisho al-gabe cheres. What's the reason that if you take the clapper out of the bell, they would still retain their tame status? Why? Says Rava, because it retains its functionality to some degree. V'roi, it's still fitting la'kisho al-gabe cheres, to hit it against pottery. Right? Meaning, right, Rashi says, Mashmiya kol kibatchila, right? V'lo batalei memalacha rishona. Basically, yes, maybe you detract it to some degree, but it still has its primary function, which is making noise. A bell, even with the clapper out, you could still bang it against pottery, and it would still make a very loud noise, and therefore it does not lose its status as a kli, and that's Rava's explanation, not like a baye, but that's Rava's explanation for why they would retain their tumah even after the clapper was taken out.